Well, Alex really struggles today, but as I said, you know, he had a lot of help, you know, in that respect. Wasn't all his, you know, his fault, but, you know, he didn't play nearly as well as obviously he did, you know, the previous week. Not that he didn't try, because he sure makes a great effort. You know, he's a very competitive young man.
That's Bill Snyder, head coach, Kansas State football team, talking about Alex Delton's performance this past weekend against TCU. And here to talk about that game and look ahead to the big matchup against Oklahoma is Mr. Wildcat himself, Tim Fitzgerald of GoPowerCat.com, joins us today. And I understand Tim is also the emergency quarterback if Delton goes down and Ertz goes down this Saturday, right, Tim?
Lord help us.
You did hear my comment, right? Lord help us with or without you as emergency quarterback.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, let's start there. Let's start at quarterback. What's the latest that you know in regards to the quarterback situation for Saturday against Oklahoma?
Well, I mean, I think they'll be without Jesse Ertz again. I'm fairly confident. So, of course, we have Coach Snyder this afternoon with the press conference. I'd expect Alex Delton to get another start, and hopefully that can come out a little bit better prepared and maybe with a game plan a little bit more tailored to his skill set and give Oklahoma a little bit better test than they did.
What do you know about, and of course we know K-State's pretty tight-lipped in regards to injuries, but what do you know in regards to Ertz's injury and the timeline for that?
Well, we believe it's he had a meniscus repair. He tore his meniscus either against Baylor or Vanderbilt or somewhere in between, and aggravated it again at Texas, and it just became too inoperable to continue to play with. Normally, a meniscus is something that is more hurt than injury, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's a very painful injury, but your knee is still mostly functional. But it looked like they decided they needed to shut him down, and he did warm up on Saturday, which I thought was curious. I mean, there was no way he was going to play. A little gamesmanship from Coach Snyder. But it looks typically to be like a four-week recovery on that. But we'll see. You know, these kids have a lot of access to, advanced treatment and constant, trainers constantly working on that knee. So we'll see if they can get him up and running sooner than that.
Seems like the most popular quarterback on a football team, especially when the team is struggling, is the quarterback that doesn't get to play. Mm-hmm. You know, Ertz is playing. Well, you know, Ertz is struggling. How about put Delton in there? Well, Delton is struggling, so now the sexy name to bring up is Skylar Thompson. Do you think there's any chance that we see Skylar Thompson at some point over the next 3 or 4 weeks?
Well, I thought it was curious that, you know, when we asked Coach or someone in the media asked Coach about, do you think about putting Skylar in? He just gave a flat no.
Mm-hmm.
So I still think that that's something I think we'll revisit today at Tuesday's press conferences to try to decipher exactly what that means. If, you know, Skylar Thompson wasn't prepared to play, he was injured, what's going on with that? It just seemed curious. Or maybe it's entirely possible that TCU was so dominant there wasn't a solution to what was going on. It wasn't the quarterback at hand. It was just everything else. I thought the line performed horribly against TCU, and maybe he thought no quarterback was going to have much success against that.
When an offense struggles, as K-State did this past weekend with a backup quarterback, 2 for 15 on third down, 216 total yards of offense, certainly the coaching staff is going to catch some criticism, especially the play caller and Dana Dimmel, and that's where I'm going to go next. You know, it's one of these things, and this is kind of a pet peeve of mine, Tim, and I know Dusty, him and I totally agree on this, and I'll see what you think, but we've been seeing it a lot over the last probably 3, 4, 5 years. Now it seems like I see it in almost every situation. I've seen KU do it multiple times with no success. We saw it with K-State the other day. Clemson, in fairness, they won a national championship. They would be lined up, you know, third and goal at the one, and they're in the shotgun. But for Kansas State, 4th-and-1 play lined up in the shotgun or pistol formation, not lining up quarterback sneak or a quarterback power run. It seems like that play, I don't know why coaches don't seem to want to run it as much. They get a little bit too cute or too creative. Would you agree with that?
I would agree, but, you know, sometimes it doesn't work. But K-State's had tremendous luck with, not luck, success,
yeah,
with running, you know, their quarterback sneak out of that power formation. It's been virtually unstoppable in the past, so why they didn't do it in that situation is a complete mystery to everyone. it was a bizarre play call. You know, just starting with the formation, yes, but then the play itself didn't make much sense. It's hard to really for me to decipher what exactly was going on there. There's been a series of strange play calls this season that are a little bit hard to figure out. You know, even, you know, plays that work that they just don't go back to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was reviewing the stats yesterday, looking at them, and Dana Dimmel's own son, Winston, had a 9-yard carry. I think it might have been the second touch of the offensive touch of the game for K-State, which caught TCU off guard because they were so zoned in on the running backs and Dalton. And then they never went back to it. They had success and didn't go back to it. And that seems to be a trend this season. When a play works, they just don't get back to it at any point in the game. They continue to run things that, have struggled at times. So it's a strange play call. Yeah, I agree.
We were joking the other day, and we're talking with Tim Fitzgerald of GoPowerCat.com, our guest today on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. But we were joking the other day that we don't even know why K-State has running backs, because they don't give the ball to the running back very often. And you mentioned some curious play calling. Justin Sillman had 3 carries for, I think, almost 40 yards against Vanderbilt, and then he didn't carry it. He did it on 1 drive, gave him a spark, didn't carry it the rest of the game. And then in this last game against TCU, Alex Delton carries it 19 times. You know TCU's keying on him. Gary Patterson said it after the game. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that, hey, Delton is more of a runner than a thrower, and we're going to need to shut him down. But then all the other running backs for K-State carried it a combined 10 times. Doesn't K-State have to be more diverse on offense and mix it up a little bit to take the pressure off of a young kid like Delton?
I would completely agree. You know, and furthermore, the passes they were asking him to throw didn't make sense to me. They were asking him to really do some complex reads at times and, you know, throw into the secondary instead of just, you know, designing some screen passes, some simple, you know, throws out into the flat, just some things to build his confidence, and some very safe throws that might stretch the field from sideline to sideline instead of, you know, downfield. It really didn't. Nothing registered here for me. It almost appeared as if they called the exact same game they would have called for Jesse Ertz, even, you know, with the curious number of running plays. Nothing changed, even though the talent under center changed, at least his skill set changed. And, I think if we'd seen Jesse Ertz in the game, they would have probably had him run 19 times, just like they did Alex Delton, and probably the exact same place.
We were talking the other day as well about, and we see this on social media, and we played a cut from Joe Maddon, manager of the Chicago Cubs, saying, you know, the day that I worry about social media is the day I need to get out and retire from being a manager in Major League Baseball. But it's certainly been a topic, and you know it as well, Fitz, and that is, you know, okay, K-State's struggling. There are high expectations. Now they have a couple losses of Big 12 play. Didn't look good losing a TCU this past Saturday. There's some people, it's, you know, hard to believe, but it doesn't shock you. Well, you know, time for Coach Snyder to step down. It's time for him to move on. And we heard the same thing before he retired the first time, and he did have a couple of losing seasons before he departed and Ron Prince took over. But it's not the same situation, is it? I mean, it seems like Coach Snyder has delegated a lot more. Of course, as he gets older, I would think that would make some sense. But do you think that's maybe part of the issue, is that Coach Snyder's maybe not as – it's crazy to say not as involved as he usually is, because he still has his fingers all over things, but it does seem like he's delegated more.
Look, that's the truth. He has delegated more. And, you know, I closed my TV show that's out of Topeka this week with the thought that if this is caused by him delegating more, it's time to take back some of those things and control it yourself. And if you're not capable of doing that, at this point in your career, then maybe it is time to think about, it's time to walk away from this. He is the head football coach, and at the end of the day, he's accountable for the product on the field, and if he's delegating to people that aren't getting the job done, then the job's not getting done. So it's just very frustrating to watch. You know, my big concern with Coach Snyder for years has been he would stick around too long.
Mm-hmm.
He would just keep trying to chase one more successful season to the point where the fans would see, you know, that it was time for him to go. And I don't want that to happen, and I fear that might be happening. But, you know, they have 6 games left. They've got a chance here to recover with some significant victories. They're in, you know, basically the same position they were a year ago at 3-3 at midseason point, and they turned it around. The problem is this year they've got some really good teams left on the schedule, and I don't know if they're capable of getting enough wins to get bowl eligible at this point. This team has to get a lot better really quickly if they want to turn the corner like they did a year ago.
Back to Coach Snyder for a moment. Do you think, let's say at the end of the year, do you think, and they don't perform as well as they would have liked, let's say K-State 7-5, 6-6, whatever it might be, but the expectations were, hey, this is a team that should win 9, maybe even 10 games, compete for a Big 12 championship. Do you think he would willingly step aside, or do you think he would need to be nudged in that direction?
I don't think there'll be really much nudging. You know, I think he's a fairly self-aware man. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I hope it doesn't come to that. You know, I hope it doesn't come with the fans, you know, basically having to boo him off the stage. You know, there's a lot of people who say he can go at it whenever he wants to, but the truth is no matter who you are, it's a profession that you were judged on your wins and losses, and he's going to be no different. So we'll see. We'll see. I hope they can get things going again, and he can once again prove critics wrong and get this team on track, although this season already with 3 losses is fallen short of what a lot of people thought this season would be about.
You're very close to the program. What's your gut feeling about Coach Snyder? Do you think he will or will not be back next year?
Well, you know, it's been my running joke that I'm going to predict that this is the last year until I can declare I was right. I think I'm on year 5 of that prediction.
Uh-huh.
I do think this will be it. I think what he's gone through with his health this year and everything else, I think it's probably becoming aware to him that it's probably time to step aside. And I know he's wanted to try to pass this off to his son, Sean, but it's, at the end of the day, there's an athletics director who needs to make that decision. It's a job at the university, not a monarchy, and we'll see, you know, how that all plays out.
Tim Fitzgerald of GoPowerCat.com, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. Let's get back to on the field, and we talked about the issues that the offense is dealing with right now, but Dusty brought this up on the car ride back from the KAB convention last night from Manhattan, that, you know, not having a Jordan Willis, you can definitely see that. I mean, you lose that type of talent who moves on to the National Football League, and I think he'll have a long and established career there with the Bengals or whoever he plays for the rest of his career. But obviously, a lot of people will talk about, hey, we lost this guy. But it's not necessarily about the guy you lose many times. It's about who's coming in behind him. But in this case, you can certainly see a direct effect to how that pass rush is, how it's been affected by those losses.
Yeah, I think it's been obvious here the last 2 games. You know, I think the defensive front was a strength of this team, you know, prior to that. But they didn't get much pressure at Texas. They didn't get much pressure against TCU. And, you know, it allowed quarterbacks to sit back there and feel comfortable. And if the coverage was good enough, then they could just take off and run. So it's been very obvious as of late that they've got some holes on this team that they didn't fill properly, and some guys that probably aren't capable of stepping up to fill those shoes. I mean, you just don't fill a Jordan Willis right away. I mean, Jordan Willis is a sophomore, wasn't Jordan Willis as a senior, so Reggie Walker is a sophomore, won't be Jordan Willis as a senior. What you need is everyone else to step up their play, so as a group, you're better. And it just hasn't been there. And I think that, you know, the defense was the only bright spot of Saturday, ironically, the unit that we were most worried about. Holding teams to get to 26 points on a day when your offense only runs 59 plays, I think, is a fairly good effort. I mean, they did some nice things against TCU, and even though they had some problems on third down, which was Achilles' heel, and is the biggest reason TCU is ranked fourth in the country. Their third down conversion rate on offense is very impressive, and on defense is very solid. So
it is giving them a big advantage.
The matchup is Oklahoma coming up on Saturday there in Manhattan at 3 o'clock, and we know K-State hasn't had a lot of success the last few times against Oklahoma in Manhattan. Will this weekend be any different?
I don't see it being any different. You know, that people talk about that winning streak Oklahoma has in Manhattan. Well, that's, you know, Bob Stoops. It started when he arrived and continued through the end of it. Now Lincoln Riley, can he pick it up? I think he's got the talent to do exactly that, and he's got the quarterback that should give Kansas State, you know, it's kind of a nightmare scenario. I mean, if you had problems with Sam Ellinger at Texas, hey, here's Baker Mayfield. Have fun with that. You know, the quarterback that can both throw the ball and then scramble when under pressure or out of throwing options, that is the worst-case scenario for this K-State defense, and his name is Baker Mayfield, and he might win the Heisman Trophy. Keep an eye on him. He might have a huge day Saturday against this K-State defense, which honestly isn't, you know, fast enough at linebacker and some other positions to contain a quarterback of his level.
Tim Fitzgerald, our guest today, GoPowerCat.com. Time for off-the-wall question, Fitz, before we let you go, and thanks again for the time. We appreciate it. There was the long delay, of course, this past weekend with the game. What's the most unique thing that you've seen or witnessed or dealt with during these long delays? Because, you know, last year there was a delay for a game and it got called at halftime due to lightning in the area. It makes for a long day, I know, for all of you covering Kansas State football. But anything unique or different or odd that occurs during these long breaks when you guys are like, what do we do to kill and pass the time until the game restarts?
Well, nothing. I mean, you just watch football and sit there and try to pass the time. I really feel for the fans. You know, that was I joked in my post-game grades that the 4 hours of delay were almost more exciting than 3 hours of football for Kansas State fans. It was just not a good 7 hours at the old ball field for K-State fans. It was a long, long, long day, and a miserable performance by Kansas State. And to make it all worse, and Dusty can verify this, they ran out of ice cream in the press box.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you know, the media, if you start running out of food, they're about a half hour away from cannibalism at any moment.
Yes.
So yeah, they'll just turn on each other.
Yes, I was just going to say that was the word I was thinking about. It was cannibal. I was thinking that right there, cannibalism, and you beat me to the punch on that one.
And let's be honest, I'm not the fastest guy in the world. I probably would be a pretty good target for him. I'm a little concerned about it.
You don't believe you'd be the last man standing. Is that what you're telling me?
No, I probably won't be. No, if there's ever a zombie apocalypse, they're going to just come after me right away.
There's Fitz. It's like shooting fish in a barrel, baby. Oh, man. That's funny. Well, hopefully it won't be a long delay coming up this Saturday. I'm looking forward to being there at the game and watching it, taking my son, and hopefully it'll be a good ball game, Oklahoma K-State. Go ahead and plug your website, and I know you kind of had a change here within the last 12 months, so let everybody know how they can find your work.
Yeah, we're still GoPowerCat.com, so you can type that in, and make sure you type it in. If you have a bookmark, you probably need to update it, because we moved from the Rivals.com network that we were at for 19 years over to 24/7 Sports, which is owned by CBS and is turning into the dominant network out there, and is really got great leadership to it, and so we made a really big decision to switch networks. It's kind of like moving your TV show from NBC to ABC. So now you got to find us on a new network and look for us. So, but just type in GoPowerCat.com and you should be taken right to our website over 24/7 Sports. And you need a new subscription if you were a subscriber. That's all part of the deal, unfortunately. So hope you'll join us over there.
Well, Fitz, we always appreciate the time and keep up the great work, and we'll talk to you again later on this year.
You bet.
That's Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com.